Well, let's go ahead and begin then. It's wonderful to have, we've got 31 people joined us this morning. And so we'll begin with Gassho. Please join me in Gassho. Namo Amida Butsu.
Namo
Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Great. Okay. So welcome. This is something new that we're doing. You know, we're sad we're not able to gather here today for Bazaar. Many of us would have probably had a sleepless week and a busy week and be exhausted. So I think we're all relatively well rested. But we did want to take this special time that we've blocked out on our calendars to think about the temple, think about this gathering that we do every year. And so in that spirit, we're going to be talking to some of our longtime temple members, leaders, and hearing about their experiences and memories from Bazaar. So we're joined this morning by three very special Sangha members. So I'd like to just ask them to briefly introduce themselves. Just share maybe, you can share your name and what your connection with the temple is, how long you've been involved with the temple. Anything else you'd like to share briefly? So maybe we'll go in alphabetical order. So I'll ask Ritsuko if you could just introduce yourself briefly for us.
Oh, yeah. I'm Ritsuko Furuya, and I've been going to the temple since I was, 8 years old. our church started at the Toshimori's house on Mount Diablo. And then we went to, is it Delaware and what is that? Second Avenue, where the first temple was, and Nihongakko too, Japanese language school. So we did that. But I don't remember having Bazaar there at that place. But when we
got... No, we didn't.
Hmm? We didn't, huh?
No, we didn't.
I don't remember. Anyway,
there was no Bazaar.
And then we bought property where we are now, and I think we didn't have the hondo then. You know, it was the hall, and so we had
the social hall.
Uh huh. And so we had services there. And we had movie night on the big screen. We saw Japanese movies, but I could barely remember. You know, our parents were the ones that were very active in the temple. So I just remember we didn't have a big kitchen, so you had to make, for example, teriyaki sauce at home, and my dad was in charge of making at least one pot, and then we would bring the parts to the temple, I guess, to do whatever. I just knew what I had to do at home, and so I think my mom did the same thing. She was assigned something, you know, kampyo or something, and then they would assemble that at the temple, I think. But I didn't go there to assemble, so I don't know what happened there. And then my father used to make, I don't think he did it every year, but he was very good at making noodles, ramen. Made noodles. And he used to use a dining room table. It was a mess, but... he made that and rolled it out. And sometimes he got a special buckwheat, the flour from Japan, and he would put tororo, you know, mountain yam in there. And it was really good. But he did that too. And so that's kind of what I remember. And that was I only really worked in the bazaar, actually, myself, probably between 1952 and 55, before I went to college. And so then there was a hiatus of like 15 years. because I was working on two masters after the university. I was working on two masters while I had this big job at Peninsula Hospital. So I didn't do anything between those years after 1955 until now.
Great. Well, thank you. We really appreciate all of your dedication for many, many years. Great. This is Mukai. Would you like to briefly introduce yourself? So we have called in on the phone. We have two, Mrs. Mukai and Mrs. Wada are joining us as well. So Ichi-san, could you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi. Well, we came back from camp in 1945. So I guess according to Yuko-san, our first bazaar was 1951, so I must have been in high school by then. And during that time, I don't remember being active, doing any involvement in the bazaar. And then my father passed away in 1953, so that made it more difficult for us to get involved in the church. But anyway, I recall in the 1956 or so, I do remember helping in the raffle booth. And at that time, we didn't have any bingo social hall. There were booths, some of the booths inside, and then there was a raffle booth, and I was assigned to a raffle booth. And I don't remember what was out in the parking lot at all. So as far as anything else, that's all that I remember. My memory is really, so maybe Bruce remembers, but as far as the leaders, I'm looking at the temple presidents around that time. Yeah. 1952 was Mr. Sasaki, who was Bill Fukita's grandfather. So, and then after that was Mr. Nakazawa, who was Ruth's father. So maybe she could fill us in with some of the some of the early events of the bazaar, because like I said, I was a teenager then and not too involved with the temple board as such. So I don't know who the committee bazaar people were. And that was why I thought maybe Jan could contribute that. But since he passed away unexpectedly, so that was a source that we really miss. So sorry, that's all I could remember.
Great. Well, we'll come back to definitely to Ritsuko and Michiko later. They have some junior YBA memories I hope to share. But yeah, Mrs. Wada, we want to hear from you. So your father was very involved at the time. And if you could just briefly introduce yourself and just share maybe what you'd like to contribute.
Where should I start? But I started the church way back when Mrs. Yamanouchi had her laundry on 2nd Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And 1st Avenue, I think it was, near the Central Park School.
Yeah.
This is 1930. Let's see, it would be 33 or 30 or something. And then she had the church right next door, or...
Wow. So there was the laundry, and then the temple was right next to that then.
Yes.
Wow. And so your father involved with the early bazaar in any of those activities, or what was his involvement at the temple?
Oh, he was president at one time.
Okay.
I don't remember the year.
Yeah.
The bazaar wasn't until 1950-something, because, there was no building until 52.
Right. Do you have memories of that first year of bazaar?
No, because before the bazaar, they used to have a fundraiser by having Japanese movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a lot of people remember those Japanese movies. I see a lot of heads nodding on the people who are watching on video. A lot of people's heads are nodding. They remember those Japanese movies.
the samurai movies.
The samurai movies. Yeah, I think my kids would.
I remember selling those tickets.
Oh, yeah, I used to sell tickets. Who did you sell the tickets to? Who would buy the tickets? Who would you sell the tickets to?
Oh, we would go, you know, through the members and go to their house, and I guess some of them, they were forced to, I mean, you know, they were asked to buy tickets, so, you know, they won't turn us down.
You mean they were put on the spot?
Yeah, right.
So you go door to door to sell the tickets to the members.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That was the early one of the early fundraisers. And we still have that amazing full movie screen. We still use it a few times a year for like Dharma School movie nights and things. But yeah, that I think was, so prior to the bazaar, that was one of the big fundraisers.
Yes. When we were, I was in the YABA group, you know, the Young Buddhist, Adult Buddhist Association. That was before I was married.
Okay. What sort of activities would you do in that Adult Buddhist Association?
Well, we also went to San Francisco to learn the Obong dances because we didn't have any instructors in those days.
Okay. So the San Mateo Young Adult Buddhist Association, that YABA group, would go up to San Francisco, learn the dances, then bring them back down to San Mateo and dance them here.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Because I remember I went, and Yori Kawakita and Kyoko Kasano and Kitty Hashimoto, we went to learn the dances.
I'm glad you remember, Ruth, because I asked Kyoko if she remembered. She didn't remember. Her memory is really failing. She didn't remember going to San Francisco for that. But yeah, I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah.
So far, I could remember things.
Kyoko Sasano is
Before the social hall was built, we used to go to the Lawrence School auditorium on Fremont and Third Avenue. There used to be a school there, and that's where I went to elementary school. And then we used to rent that hall for movies. I remember that there was a Japanese movie that was going to be the actress going to kiss. So it was a full house. We all wanted to go see that. I remember that was full house at that time. So that was before the movies were held, before the social hall was built.
Yeah.
That's a memory. Anyway, sorry, Ruth. Go ahead.
No, that's great. Thank you for sharing these memories. Yeah.
We used to have talent night too, because I remember Michiko's father. He was quite a showman, and he would do something. Remember Michiko?
Yeah, he was an actor. But and going on to, we used to have a talent show held at Lawrence School Auditorium. And for the big Hanamatsuri, we used to have a Saturday night talent show. And we all did something. And my brother Yoshi and I, we had measles, so we were confined to our home. We were bored, so we did a pantomime. And I borrowed the Annie Get Your Gun pantomime. And we did a pantomime of anything I can do, you can do better. I was taller than my younger brother, so I played Howard Keel, and my brother played, what was her name anyway? Betty. So anyway, we had a big talent show every year.
Wow.
And you used, when they had the picnic, your family used to dress up. Remember?
Yes, well, I think that was the Fukuoka Ken annual picnic, because I remember the Shin family, and they would all dress up into, my father would dress up as a, and my sisters were, I guess I wasn't born yet, and sisters were tea pickers, and they all dress up, and I think they would have a costume, right?
Yeah.
I think that was
a lot more fun before.
Well, that was before the war, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was before the war. But afterwards, we also, I didn't know where we played, but it was Lawrence Auditorium, but we had a band. Michiko and I played the violin. Fred Kochi played, I forgot what he played. Fred Kochi
he
from
played the accordion.
Oh, accordion?
Yeah, he played the accordion.
Yep, Fred's Fred's actually, he's here on the call, so he's he's with us today too.
Oh, he is.
Yep.
Hi, Fred.
Hi. Don't say anything bad.
Yeah, we had a singer. Somebody sang, right? Michiko, I can't remember.
Yeah, you know, Kyoko was a singer. She sang, and also my sister-in-law, Fumiko Takeshita, had a beautiful voice too. So they sang, and my old sister played the, she accompanied them on the accordion. And this was a talent show at the social hall at that time. And it was a full house, and everybody would participate and have talent. So Fred Kochi's father was our band leader. And James Toscano, right? He played the trumpet, was it? Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
He played the trombone. Your brother played the trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, your brother played it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we had a really full house. You know, at that time, that was our social, big social thing, so we had a full house.
Oh, yeah, and I also played koto for 8 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 45 minutes long, those pieces where my legs were going, you know. Now they allow you to put it on a bench and sit and do it. But in those days, you had to sit on the floor, Japanese style. It was horrible.
I wanted to share. Yuko Tsuruki very kindly went through some of the temple archives, and I wanted to share something with all of you. I think this is pretty interesting. For those who are joining by phone, I'll read some excerpts from some of these really neat historical documents that we have here. The temple, let's see here. I'm going to do a screen share here. Let's see here. The best way to do this. And then, so if you can see, we have a slide here. This is the original, this original history kind of document. So this is the history of the San Mateo Junior Young Buddhist Association. And it says, so this is a group of young Buddhists. And it says that this is in 1952. So this was an important year for the temple in many ways. As Mrs. Wada mentioned, this is when the what's now the social hall, that part of the temple was built. And it says, as this organization is still very, very young, there are many things we do that older organizations might say is not too well done. But since we are so young, we will very much like to improve ourselves in religious and social functions. With the mistakes that we have made in the past, we are hoping that we will be able to erase those mistakes in the coming future years. With these high hopes, the San Mateo Junior YBA has drawn up a constitution similar to the constitution of the YBA and are willing to cooperate with the community to make ourselves ready and able members of the YBA. So this was in 1952, and I got the wrong page here. Let me see here. I went the wrong direction. And those original leaders, so I'll read this list of the original leaders. So junior YBA election under an acting chairman, the first election of the San Mateo Junior YBA was held with the following results. So the president was James Tatsukawa. The vice president was Michiko Takeshita, now known as Michiko Mukai, who's joining us. The treasurer was Ritsuko Furuya. The girls athletic chairman was Lucy Ikeda. Many of us know her as Lucy Hamai, active member at Berkeley Buddhist Temple. The boys athletic chairman was Ben Hanada. And the publicity and transportation manager was Shiz Aoyagi. And the advisors for our club were Miss Ann Suto, Mr. Dick Matsueda, and Mr. Kaz Oshima. Our honorary advisor is to be the Reverend Tana of Palo Alto. And due to unforeseen conditions, Miss Ann Suto and Mr. Dick Matsueda resigned in respective order later in the year. Though we were sorry to see them leave the junior YBA, we will always be grateful for their help in solving our many problems which arose at the beginning of our organization. So so we have the some of the founding cabinet members are here. Do you have any memories of these meetings, these early meetings?
Oh, you know, not at all.
I was married by then, so I wasn't in there.
You were. Mrs. Wada was already married at that point. Yeah. So she.
Yeah, I guess I was in high school then, so yeah.
Right. And so one of the next entries here is the SMBT's first bazaar. So, and then it's very interesting. It says so this is talking about the bazaar. It was held in October. The first time. And October is a significant month. We kind of consider that the month also the temple was founded here. Of course, now we do bazaar in June, but very interesting kind of record of what that event was like. It says, at 6 p.m. on October 11th, the doors were open to the public. Oops, I'm sorry. The doors were open to the public. There were games, prizes, food of all sorts, fun and entertainment for everyone who attended. The members were busy working on their various booths all night and the following day. At 10 p.m. on Sunday, October 12th, 1952, the drawing was held and ended with many happy people carrying their prizes home. 12 a.m. was the end of our very successful bazaar. So they kept going until midnight. Was that common in those days for temple activities to go late into the evening?
I must have remember.
Wow. Yeah. Do you remember, Mrs. Wada? Was that sort of a typical time, or was that sort of a special occasion that it went so late?
I don't remember. When I after I got married, I didn't go to any of the activities.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And that's a common pattern even today, for us. So, there's another interesting, so we have, this slide, these will be kind of playing between the breaks and we'll make these available. We have some, great information here from this. So the junior YBA really took an important leadership role, in the bazaar, kind of getting it up and started. So this was the year that the Hondo was built. So then the bazaar, and they immediately started fundraising. And within 6 years, by 1958, they were able to raise enough funds to build what is now the Hondo. So our current Hondo at the temple, much of that construction was possible due to this this bazaar project. There was one other interesting slide. So the junior YBA has the records, precious records in English, and then for the much of the temple meeting minutes at that time were handwritten in Japanese. Mm-hmm. So Yuko very kindly translated all of the different activities. It talks about the bazaar. The same information about games and food items that were going to be prepared. Here's a list of the food. So the original bazaar, the menu included udon, sushi, ohagi, salad, nigiri, nishime, made by BWA, and hot dogs provided by Junior YBA. And then the beverages were...
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember making hot dogs?
No, I don't at all. Yeah, I guess...
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But it's interesting. Hot dogs are still, there's still a tradition here at San Mateo Buddhist Temple. We have hot dogs at the last day of Dharma school, and we also have hot dogs during our Obon, the Odori, after Odori. Mm. We have hot dogs. Those are two events.
Right.
Yeah, I enjoy eating my annual hot dog treat during those events. Yeah. And so you just talked about, you know, there's some interesting information about, you know, how hard, you know, people, everyone worked hard, pulled together. Again, this fundraiser was to build the Hondo. And so there was a hope to generate funds, and they were quite successful. And so it talks about how the first profit was 6,000. And if you think back, 1952, I mean, I would imagine that $6,000 was quite a bit of money back then. You know, that
Yes, right.
It had a lot of, you could do a lot with $6,000 in the 1950s. So very successful. Do you remember, how much the food items used to cost, like in the early days, like how much was a hot dog? How much was a cup of coffee? Do you remember like roughly how much those things might've cost at the bazaar?
I don't.
Well, I was trying to remember, you know, as a teenager, we'd man the, like the ring toss and grab bag. But I think the ring toss was like 15 cents for three tries. I can hardly remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine back in those days, you could, you know, 15 cents, you could actually buy something with 15 cents. Yeah.
Urban?
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting, but you were saying $6,000 to get an idea, you could buy a house for $12,013.
Wow.
Yeah, you buy a house. So you could get a two-bedroom, three-bedroom house for about $17,000.
Here in San Mateo.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, you know, they were limited on the area they can live in. They were all bunched on between 4th Avenue and Peninsula Avenue.
Right.
And then San Mateo Drive and 101. That's the only area they can move into.
Yeah.
Still, to give you an idea how much money you make, $6,000, you buy a house for $12,000. So it's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, these days, you know, that would be the equivalent of raising $500,000 if we think about the cost of houses in San Mateo today. So, that's something remarkable. There's another, this is one that we thought was that Yuko and I had a bit of a chuckle about. So this is from the meeting of the June 15th. So this is as they were preparing the next bazaar and thinking about lessons learned from the previous bazaar. And they said, "We will not sell sake this year at bazaar. We need to be quiet with games. Only adult members." Everyone agreed.
Well, you know what happened was that the junior YBA went to one of the meetings and said, "We should not be selling alcohol."
Oh, really? Why was that?
1953 or something like that. So we all went and told the elders we shouldn't be selling alcohol.
That's fascinating. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, we were a temple.
Okay.
We shouldn't be drinking. That was, you know, I mean, our parents told us we shouldn't drink, right? And here we are selling drinks at the bazaar. I was only, 16 or 17, I think, you know, and we did it. Maybe it only happened one year where they didn't sell sake.
Yeah, I wonder. I didn't see the financials from that year where there was no sake sold, but
Yeah, I guess the Issei's wanted the sake, you know, yeah. But I guess the younger people, it was a no-no. But I guess one year they did try not to sell. But evidently, they didn't make too much money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it, would it also have been a factor that the YBA kids were running the games? And so if you have a bunch of adults wanting to do something, it's hard to say no, sir. Especially when you get drunk and unruly.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and there's some interesting, anyone else? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Michi-san, what is so nenkai?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, it says all the profit was shared with different organizations, and one of them said so nenkai, and I couldn't translate it. What is so nenkai? It's say nenkai is YBA, and so nenkai must be something else.
It's Yaba.
Was it younger?
Oh, Yaba.
No, it's Yaba. Adult Buddhist Association.
Adult Buddhist Association. Oh, I see.
Yeah, the older men, right?
Yeah, well, they had the Sonenkai, and then which was the Younger Adult Buddhist Association. In those days, they had Yaba and they had Abba both. Abba is the Adult Buddhist Association, and then they had the Sonenkai too.
So which one is Sonenkai?
Sonenkai is a Adult Buddhist Association.
ABA. Okay, ABA. Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah. And there's some other interesting kind of historical perspective. They said we need to set up a phone. It must be a payphone. You know, we think about, you know, everybody at Bazaar, you know, they have their cell phones. But back in those days, you know, it was an issue of, you know, people wanted to make a phone call, probably needed to call somebody to, you know, come pick them up or something like that. And, you know, maybe everyone was trying to borrow the temple phone and there might have been, you know, any number of issues. But so they thought, okay, practically speaking, one of the things they needed back in those days was a payphone where people would put in a, you know, I don't know, how much did a payphone cost in the 50s? I don't even know. Do you recall?
Was it always?
Beginning was 5 cents.
5 cents. So you need a nickel to make a payphone call.
Yes.
You know, I think the last time I used a payphone, it was maybe 50 cents. And that was probably over 10 years ago. So, yeah. And then also they... in those days, this also indicates that they borrowed the bazaar funds cash from the following individuals. So there was also a sense where the temple members would invest their own money in the bazaar, but then they would, you know, they would be compensated, but they would, you know, they would sort of advance that that capital for the bazaar. So that's an interesting kind of window into the past as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
idea, but just the idea of
owning a few kinds. Yeah, let's see. And then there's some other. Yeah, and Victor.
Yeah, I think part of the reason for the payphone was because people used to call long distance.
Oh,
long distance from Mountain View, so. That's one of the reasons why we always had a payphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just outside of San Mateo was a long distance call, which would be quite expensive.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Fascinating.
Thank you, Carl.
Let's see. And then, And so one of the things, just the last slide I wanted to share talks a little bit about you know, what they used the funds that were raised. So this is in August. So this is following the bazaar. What did they do with all this money that they raised? And they said that they will buy a curtain for the stage from the bazaar profit. And so now, you know, we still, I don't know if that curtain we have now is from 1953, but that, you know, that probably.
Oh, no, it was a gold curtain.
Gold
curtain. Because the purple one now is I got when I was working at Burrell Middle School, the teacher I worked with was a drama teacher, and she ordered some drapes for the Burrell Middle School. So I got the reference. And so the current one was installed much later. So before that was a gold stage curtains.
Wow. Wow. That's fascinating.
So the money probably was for that first one, the gold one.
The gold one. Wow.
Yes.
That's good to know. If we ever replace it, maybe we'll think about going back to the gold color. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, they had the curtains because they had the Nijing. That was also used. The hall was used as a temple and hall both. So they had the Nijing
right
on top. So in order, when they had an activity, they would close the curtain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And now the curtain is, now we have, we've, through the generosity of generations of members, we have a lot of, equipment and things that have accumulated. So that area now has, the curtain covers a lot of very precious storage space that we use these days. So it's great. And then the remaining funds were set aside for the building fund to build the Hondo. Really. Great. Okay.
Why they decided to have the bazaar, the first bazaar was in October and the second bazaar was the next year in June. They had it really back to back. Why did they change it to June? Do you know?
Well, probably weather-wise, maybe around that time, other churches were all probably having it in June, so, or in the summer months, and probably because of convenience of the working people, or I'm not sure exactly. Maybe having the youth having the summer off, we could have the junior YBA help more in the summertime. Things like that might have been a factor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, August is also the start of the picking season.
But are you guys still talking?
If you're a farmer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, picking.
Oh, my kids just go back.
Yeah, harvesting and whatever. Wow.
Great. So, I really appreciate all of this sharing. Yeah. So, one question I had was, if you look at the bazaar today, what do you think has big changes that have happened? And then how is it the same? What are the things that you feel have remained the same? And what do you think has changed over the last 69 years now?
Oh, definitely more food, variety of food.
Yeah, more food.
And the games have evolved as well, making it more interesting for the children. And, I guess every year it's evolved and made improvements on it to what it is today. Because I was involved with the game part when I was Dharma school teacher for the 7th and 8th grade in the 70s and 80s. So I remember going out to buy prizes for that. But now it's so much, the prizes and everything are more related to what the kids like. So it's good. We just change according to the time and what toys are popular with the kids for that particular year. So it's good. Yeah.
Well, I think what I notice is how efficient our operation has gotten. And every year somebody makes an improvement. For example, the sushi area. I mean, we have molds and things like that. So our food is more uniform. And of course, because of safety reasons, we were gowning up and wearing gloves, and maybe next time we'll be wearing masks too. but I'm really proud of our church members because, I mean, everybody has some innovation and we've got become very efficient, I think.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Mrs. Wada, what is your impression of the bazaar today as opposed to, you know, earlier times when you first started attending and participating?
Well, they have more food now.
Yeah. Do you remember your favorite foods from when you would go to the bazaar in, say, the 1950s?
I like the yakisoba and, the udon.
How is the flavor? Is it the same? Does it taste the same? Have we maintained the original recipe, or is it has that sort of evolved with the people's tastes as well?
Yakisoba.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
It's good?
You know, my husband is the one that started the sushi bar.
Oh, your husband started the sushi bar?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. How did he get the idea to do that? And what did that involve? What did he have to do?
One year we helped with the JSL. You know, they had that Victorian day at Central Park.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And so one of our friends, she owned Otome restaurant in San Francisco on Fillmore Street, where she donated her sushi chef's time, and he helped with to prepare the sushi, and my husband learned how from him.
Oh, okay.
To go about it, and so he decided he would do it for the San Mateo Buddhist Church.
Wow.
Great.
So he learned a skill and he thought, well, I can share this with the temple. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sushi's it's still a popular treat. We love it. Yeah. So this is wonderful. I wanted to, we've got some questions coming up in the chat box. So if you'd like, if you have questions, feel free to type those into the chat box. Some of these we've covered, but one question I think would be interesting to hear, has the membership grown? Like if you think about, for example, Mrs. Wada, you know, you're already married by the 50s and you talked about some of the very earliest years of the temple when we were still, meeting next to the Yamanouchi's Imperial Laundry. How has the sort of temple membership sort of changed over the years?
Well, people are not as participating as much as they used to.
Okay. Yeah. So you felt people were more involved in previous generations?
Yeah.
Yeah. What sort of things would people do in the past that they're not doing as much these days?
I guess maybe they got more other things, more interesting or more different things, you know.
Right. When that hondo, when our current hondo first opened up in 1958, what percentage of the pews would you say were full at a typical Sunday service?
Much more so than.
Yes.
Yeah, much more?
I would say a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the same for all the churches, the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, this is Victor. You know, during those times, the temple was their social gathering because everybody spoke Japanese and, you know, they looked different. And so I think the Niseis and the Iseis were comfortable being at the temple. And that was a major reason for the Japanese to bomb there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the church was Yeah, the church was our only social outlet for all of us. We didn't have the community parks and recreation classes and no JYO or basketball, you know, organizations established. So everything centered around the church. So that was why our Dharma school was, you know, 150 kids and every class was really full. And but now it's in that area, it's really dwindled quite a bit, drastically.
I think the junior YBA, the YBA was a lot more kids too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus we could walk to the church in most cases. Yeah. So now we're scattered because we could buy homes anywhere. But in there, you know, at that time, we couldn't buy outside of that restricted area, you know.
Yeah.
One of our dentists bought and dared to buy a home in Baywood, and there was a burning cross on his lawn.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was pretty bad in the 50s.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I see the what's going on in the streets in the United States, it kind of brings back those bad memories, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in those days, the temple was a kind of a safe place for people to gather.
Right, right. It was a central gathering place, you know, not just for the services, but as a Sangha community outlet, you know, I mean, activities, source of activities for the young people.
Well, plus
for the parents too.
Plus, I think the other thing is that because we were segregated, we tended to, the Chinese people went to the Baptist church there and on Humboldt, and they stuck together, and the Japanese kind of stuck together, and the blacks stuck together. You know, and so it's a natural thing that we're all going to gather. We all know each other very well. And so the temple was a good place to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Reverend, so, I just wanted to share something also.
Yeah, please, Fred.
At the beginning, when the bazaar first started, and in the night, the Sonankai members would spend the night at the church because it would be broken into. And one time, how they break into it is a window way up at the top of the building from the outside. They would break the glass and go in from there, and then they open the door and they would take the prizes. And so the prizes were like TV set. At that time, TV set was a big deal. And the TV was donated by Shig Mori, Kathy Mori's father had a TV shop, and that's how we got the prizes too.
Wow. So I wanted to touch on a couple more of these questions in the chat box. So there was a question about the taiko drumming at Bazaar. Do you remember when that started, when they started to have the taiko drumming? Gail, did you remember?
I think Bill Chin started it first, and then after that, let's see, I can't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember that being 25 years ago, though.
Yeah, maybe 20 or 25, yeah. So there's a suggestion in the chat box that maybe it was the 20th, maybe they had their 20th anniversary a few years ago. So it's been within the last 20 years or so.
I sent an email to Sharon to find out.
Okay, great. So Victor will let us know when he hears back. Oh yeah, Grace has a memory.
So with the taiko, I remember my father playing the taiko during the Obon. So that was the first time I remember seen a taiko performance. I mean, you know, not like today, but he was doing the beating to the music. But I don't remember Bazaar having the taiko drum back then. We came in 57, so I don't remember anything between 52 and 57, but
Right. Okay. Yeah. There was so that the taiko. It sounds like it has a longer history with the bon odori as sort of setting the rhythm.
Yeah. There's a taiko drum up in the sangha room that was donated. That has, I think, has a year on it.
Okay.
And it has a name of the people donating it too.
Oh, okay.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, Reverend, this is Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
I remember Derek when he was really young. Being one of like the first to perform at a bazaar, that was probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm reading the centennial book on page 95. It says Taiko, Sanato Buddhist Temple Taiko was founded in 1992 by Bill Chin.
Okay.
So that's the current, you know, original of the current taiko group, and it grew to what it is today. So that was back in 1992. So it's pretty recent, not too long ago. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. So we have a couple questions from our junior white or our Dharma school students who are participating. One question was who made up the idea to hold the bazaar? Who do you remember who came up with the idea that was something that you could do?
Mm.
Yeah,
was it from Junior YBA?
I don't know. Let's just do it.
No.
No, I'm sure it was a temple. Junior YBA, we were too young yet.
Okay.
It must have been what was going on among the Bay District, and perhaps other chapters were having bazaars, so probably that's how our temple decided to say, hey, let's try that. That's my hunch.
What this Victor? Weren't the bazaars pretty much tied to Obon at one time? And then because of space, they separated the two? Because I know Lodi used to do that.
Shemakeo, they couldn't do it because of the space.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's why they had it separate.
Yeah, that was why it was all separate. But I don't know how the other temples did. Maybe space was not a problem. Probably they had it together. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because there's a lot of temples that do it together.
Yeah, but San Francisco has a separate too because they don't have the space.
Right. Because I think it was more of a space thing than anything else.
Yeah.
So I think so.
Yeah. So I want to open up for other questions people might have. If you're joining us via Zoom or via the conference call, you can feel free to unmute yourself or just ask your question. Or if you'd like to type it into the chat box, that's that's fine too. We can. Or if you have your own comment or memory, something that's come up for you, hearing these reflections from our panelists.
Yeah, while everybody's thinking, Sensei, just for reference, I do have pictures of the temple first starting when we did the 100th anniversary book.
Okay.
So I can give that to Paco and he can put it on the website.
That would be great.
You know, the home, all the where we first started.
Yeah, that would be great.
Everybody's thinking. Well, everybody's thinking.
Okay. So there's a couple nice memories. Red tamales and corn dogs were a popular bazaar treat in the 1960s. This is a great question from one of our Dharma school students. Can you repeat about the areas that Japanese could buy a house? Was it just Japanese or Asian? So this is Asian. Question about those.
Minorities.
Minorities. Okay, so anybody who wasn't white.
Right.
And then what were kind of the boundaries of those areas? Does anyone recall like the specific?
Boundaries were San Mateo Drive to 101.
Okay.
So like Idaho, Humboldt, Delaware, all of that area, they can't, Claremont. Okay. And then the other way was between Peninsula Avenue and about 3rd or 4th Avenue.
Fourth
I think Avenue. Your house was on 4th, is that correct?
Yes, but it was Fifth Avenue because Mrs. Yamanouchi could build only build her current tea house, and that was on Fifth Avenue. Yeah, so Fifth Avenue was the borderline. And I think it was the railroad track, not Sammito Drive.
The railroad tracks.
And a Poplar Avenue. So, and then they gerrymandered the school district. So if you lived on Bellevue, which is right smack heading toward the front of Sammito High School, you went to Burlingame High School. So Burlingame was an all-white
school.
But if you lived in Hillsborough because your parents were a butler and maid or whatever in the house and you lived there, then you could go to Burlingame. And I only know of two Asians that went to Burlingame High School, but it was that bad. Mm. And fortunately, Sammito High School had, they made it so the Hillsborough people, the kids could go to Sammito High School. I don't know how that happened. But so our high school at that time was ranked very high because we have all these smart people.
Yeah, I think half went to Burlingame, half went to San Mateo. So yeah, our school was big. My graduating class was 1,000 from San Mateo.
1,000?
1,000, yes, graduating, because there was 4,000 kids in the whole high school at that time. That's 1950. That's 1960.
Well, that can't be. In 59, I was a graduating class. That was the last big class, was 450. That's because Caramont opened up, and there are two high schools that opened up. So I don't think we had 1,000.
Yeah, it was under 500, the high fours, maybe. The school was under 2,000. They could not hold 4,000.
Right.
Yeah, the school might have been 1,000 total.
Yeah, total.
Because when I graduated in 67, we had pushed above 1,200. So,
67, Aragon opened up. So actually the class got smaller at San Mateo.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That might be a good.
Yeah. Because Aragon opened up and then Aragon took quite a bit of San Mateo High School students.
Okay.
Oh, she's an Amamoto.
She's
an
Amamoto,
yes,
right?
I'm Amamoto. Oh, sorry, this is Florence. George and Nobi Amamoto were my parents.
Joining us all the way from Minnesota, so this is great. Thank you.
Yeah, the other Amamoto joined us too. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. That's great. Yeah.
Actually, what I remember are snow cones.
You remember snow cones?
Yeah. So the first time I had a snow cone, it was the bazaar.
Yeah. That's great.
I could say for the current bazaar, it would be nice if you had more sushi, not the nigiri sushi, but the sushi. Because oftentimes I go to the bazaar, maybe it's not that late, but the sushi is all gone.
Oh.
And we found another chairman for the sushi booth.
So I wanted to ask our panelists, Ritsuko, Michi, and Ruth, if you could share maybe one memory from bazaar, one thing that you sort of stands out in your mind from bazaar, something that you remember. It could be any time, it could be last year, it could be, you know, many years ago, but do you have any sort of one memory when you think of bazaar, something that comes from to mind for you?
I'm Michi. Well, I can't remember one from way back, but most currently is, I think, the current bazaar, the ones we've been having. It's a lot of work, but we've always said that it's the one time that everybody gets together our former members, our former college age students all come back and help. So it's really worth the effort. So we just need to keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's to say. Sensei, I'm going to leave because I signed up for the CBE seminar from 11. So.
Great.
Okay, so
you go right
thank
ahead.
You, everyone.
All right, thank
I
you, Mrs.
Mukai.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Ruth or...
is that it?
Yeah. Ruth, do you have a memory from Bazaar that you'd like to share?
Not really.
Not really.
My arm is getting tired, so if I can, I like to hang up.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you joining our conversation and for sharing all your wisdom. Many people have expressed their appreciation and said how much grateful they are that you've taken this time to share with us. So thank you very much, Mrs. Wada.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Yeah. And then Ritsuko, do you have a bizarre memory that you'd like to share with us?
Well, it occurred to me that my father made teriyaki sauce and I'm still making teriyaki sauce for bizarres. I've been doing that for years.
That's great. So you're carrying on family traditions. We're going to be hearing from Michi's son later. And yeah. Very grateful. Grateful. Thank you. Okay.
Or I wonder if it's chicken.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, Victor.
Yeah, one of the things, like when I took over the bazaar, you know, we were talking about ways of gathering funds. And, you know, we have Surge, the Presbyterian Church, which is a Japanese group. And when I had mentioned to some of the Sturge people that, you know, we were thinking about not doing bazaar, they said, no, we have to keep it up because that was the one time when the Japanese community could get together and see each other. And so it was a major meeting place for people to get back together and, you know, talk about old times and the future. So... Yeah, you know, the Nisei's, you know, like I said, it was their meeting place, and they wanted us to keep the bazaar going.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I've heard several comments from several people that you know, the bazaar is, the fundraising is an important piece, and you know, the reality is we need to generate funds to continue the activities of the temple, but there's also the social side, I think, is important. Everybody coming together, working together, spending that time together. There's a bonding activity. We have people who come back and really come together. So I think that that's an important part of the bazaar too. It's a lot of, as Michi said, it's a lot of work, but it's also very meaningful work at that. Okay, so I want to sort of formally conclude this session. I thank you all for participating. I'm going to leave this call open. So if people want to continue to share memories, and this is going to be open all day, so you can check back in anytime you'd like to join us. We'll be going, the Japanese session starts at 5:15, so we'll be kind of going in English up to that point. And then for those of you who speak Japanese, understand Japanese, that'll be an interesting conversation as well. So we'll be here kind of like with Bazaar. We'll be here all day and you can come and go as you're able. So I'll leave the call open and we'll conclude this session with Gassho, but I welcome you to catch up. And this is a time when you can either chat box or unmute and reach out to other friends you see on the call. You know, Marcy is joining us from Washington State. We have Florence from Minnesota. We have many of you from, or just people who haven't caught up at the temple lately because we haven't been meeting in person for a few months. So I welcome you to continue to share memories and to just get caught up as we do at Bazaar. So we'll conclude with Gassho. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu.